a rich man's world. I have turned the soul of this beautiful land, but that
welcome back, gamers, to another week, another episode of the Talkin' Fit podcast, hosted by your favourite besties, Lewis and Grace.
Hey.
Another new intro, because fuck the old boring intros, you know?
Your favourite besties.
We're back for another week, yes, on another Monday, yes, in Grace's room, yes, at 9:30 at night again. What's happening, Grace?
Yeah, what?
Why? Grace is definitely not as in the mood as she was last week for this. She's probably in some phase of her period, and she'll have that to blame for it. And it'll be
wrong. I'm actually I should be thriving right now.
Oh, we'll get thriving. What's happening?
Guess what phase I'm in?
What phase? Luteal.
No, that's the bad one.
No, God. What, are you in a good one? Are you in a good one?
No, the four phases.
What phase is it that you're in?
My follicular phase.
That's it. So you're ovulating.
No, I'm not. I'm not ovulating. Okay. That's another phase.
Okay. Well, to be fair, you did nearly. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Just go have a munch. Go on. Rustle in the bag of chocolate chips. Have a munch.
Mid
sentence.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. So yeah, but just, you know, just go have
a
munch.
I've just jumped straight off my laptop.
Yeah.
That I've been on for 2 hours.
You nearly died today as well.
And I haven't even been able to eat. And now I have to cut. Now I'm recording. So let me eat.
Okay. But just, can you do it a little bit quieter, please? The rustling of the chocolate chips sitting next to her on a bedside table.
All right.
Get some more out now so you don't just keep rustling.
Can I tell you about my day today?
Yeah. Tell us how you nearly died.
I'll tell you about what I did on this Monday.
Tell us. Because who cares about your week, right?
I woke up. Yeah,
no one cares.
Lewis doesn't care much lately, actually. I feel like I'm being neglected. What? All right, just get up and turn
It's hot. It's hot. All right.
Because
that's a rubbish sentence. What do you mean you feel neglected lately?
Lewis is just being a bit peculiar.
What?
Dare I say.
Stop talking nonsense. Stop.
Look at him.
Stop. They can't look at me.
Relax.
What do you mean?
Am I gaslighting him right now? No, I don't know. I just feel like you're a bit distant.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing that in front of everyone too. Just hasn't discussed that with me privately. I'll just bring it out in the podcast. Why not?
Anyway, let me just tell you about my day.
Okay.
I woke up this morning. When you're ready. And suddenly realized we're all in the... Anyway, I woke up this morning and I had to go to a driving assessment this morning because I'm still on placement.
Yeah.
Second last week. Woohoo. Anyway, we went, I probably can't say too much, but we went for this driving assessment and this poor client was in the pre-drive assessment, you could tell the client wasn't really fit to be in a car. Anyway, we still have to take them out on road. So we take this client out on road and my God, my life flashed before my eyes probably more than 8 times within the span of like 20 minutes.
Would you say it's the worst driver you've ever been in the car with?
100% ever. Yeah, we just got in the car and it was hands down the worst drive I think I will ever experience in my life too. Yeah. It was just so scary from the minute we drove away, we were peeking out. Because, yeah, it's a driving instructor in the front seat and then me and my supervisor in the back and obviously the client driving and just fuck, like, it was scary. So, anyway, I thought I was going to die for, like, 25 whole minutes on my Monday morning. Didn't, thankfully. Came back, but it was a bit stressful. It was a cold morning, was it not?
Yeah, it was today.
And I was a lather of sweat sat in this car. That's how freaked out I was.
Yeah.
Anyway, then I went to the gym, trained legs. I didn't feel like it, but I did it anyway, and I'm glad that I did it. And then came home, did check-ins for my clients because it's check-in day. Woo! And then that takes me quite a while, actually. Like, it takes me a big chunk of my day. And then I've been doing an assessment. I've been doing an assignment that is due the day after I finish placement. A 12-minute long case study presentation due the day after I finish placement. I have to present it on that Monday. How shit is that?
Yeah, that's pretty shit.
So my day's been busy and all I want to do is have a cup of tea and sit down and just not think about anything.
Fuck.
But I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
I'm so out of it, too. I'm just like...
I haven't had a chance to sit
spacing
down.
Spacing out right now.
I haven't had a chance to
sit down. Too late for this
shit.
That's why. Anyway.
I haven't had a chance to sit down and just have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And it's like 9:30.
Yes, it is. It's 9:30.
Anyway, how was your day?
Fucking podcast, of course, you fucking inconvenience. You lot listening, you big inconvenience to our week, right? For God's sakes. Fucking, I'm falling apart. I can't even be bothered.
Why?
I don't know why. I'm just
no,
like,
talk about yourself for a little bit and you'll feel better, I promise.
Fuck.
Just tell us about your day. Or your week.
Shit day.
How's
shit
your week?
It was not shit week, but just, I don't know. Life's been just going at a steady pace, I guess I could say.
It's a calm before the storm because Christmas
is
coming.
Yes, it is coming. I've found myself on super niche fucking gym talk at the moment with my like TikTok because I've obviously partially blown up a little bit on TikTok.
If you didn't already know, guys.
But like it's stumbled me into this weird space on TikTok that's like it's like optimal TikTok. So it's got all your optimal people and stuff, but it's also like kind of like meme like optimal gym talk, I mean. But it's also like a bit memey as well. But it's so memey to the point where there's things that are that niche I have absolutely no idea what they relate to when they come up. Like, I saw something today about some girl dying or people going rip, and I've seen it a couple times. I go, what the fuck is this? What am I saying? Stop! Stop throwing your shit at me. What the hell? But, yeah, it's just like... Oh, look, as I say this, I'm like... I'm not in it today. I'm not in it. I'm not going to lie. I'm sad. You're thinking, no one gives a fuck, Lewis. That's what's
no,
in my head at the
about,
moment.
You tell us about your week instead of like what's been happening on TikTok.
I don't know what's been going on with my week. It's been, I can't even fucking tell you. I'm probably going to get dementia. I've probably already got early stages of it because I've got terrible short-term memory. You asked me what I have for fucking, well, I can remember what I ate for dinner last night because I eat it every fucking day. But if you ask me, say I didn't, and you ask me like I used to back at school, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I can't remember what's happened the last few days.
You just need some fish oil.
It's just all on a blur at the moment. Like, I remember we went to Coldplay, but that was the week before. The whole week that's been, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'm having a crisis on the podcast right now. I think it's a mixture of it being late and a bit of stress as well. I don't know why I'm stressed. I get stressed about the podcast. Maybe I open up. Maybe this is a therapy episode. Lewis's therapy episode. Because I'm stressing about everything when it comes to this. I haven't made a reel all week. I've barely been making reels at all recently in the last month. And I feel like shit for it. And I just, it's just overwhelming when it shouldn't be. It's not really that much.
That's probably a sign that you're... really, like, you're not enjoying it.
I guess. But I do. I'd be lying if I sat here and said I didn't.
But with good things, like, stress comes with almost everything, really.
Yeah.
Even things you love. But I feel like if it breaches a certain point, then you need to reassess and think, is this really providing to me? Is this really giving back to me?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
It's just too, because I don't know. It's something about, like, we may as well be honest with everyone that listens, because if you are listening, like, we value the time that you put into listening to us. And, like, obviously, you'd say you enjoy us. Like, it's not just a chore just to make us feel better, obviously. But we're glad that we can entertain you for a bit of your week. Like I've said, I think, fucking 100 times last few weeks. But we've discussed recently about whether or not we will continue doing this podcast into the next year. We don't know. We're not sure, because it's even something like when people ask us like about how the podcast is going and stuff, and like they always go, oh, the podcast and whatever, and I just sort of go, yeah, it's going, you know. I'm like, I don't know, it's stagnated a lot more recently. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not been growing much. Like, the start of the year was fantastic. Like, it was good, but I think it's a mixture of, like, I guess a bit of enjoyment. I've not been enjoying it as much. I don't know what to talk about as much. I have some stuff to talk about still, though, today. But, I don't know. It's just, we have been doing this for a while, too. But it's just, I don't know. I just get stressed over it, too, because I want to keep doing it, because I don't want to quit as well. So I'd be lying to say if I said you won't see us next year. I would be lying to myself to say that. But I don't know. It's just been that sort of headspace recently. Maybe that's why I haven't been making reels as much, because I don't know. I don't enjoy it as much, I guess. Yeah. I guess, I don't know if you feel the same way, but maybe a little bit.
I have struggled to really get into the podcast in terms of like making reels and stuff and really putting time and effort into it for a long while now. Like, credit to Lewis. Lewis has done a lot of it. Lewis basically is the one that edits all of our reels, and he edits the podcast as well. I just find I enjoy doing it, though. Like, I would be really sad if we did stop.
So would I.
One day. I'd so would just I. be sort of like, oh, that sucks.
It comes down to us still being good. At the end of the day. Like, our organization, too, I feel like. Because it's not a case of, oh, people just don't like what we put out and stuff. Because there are people that do. I think there's just not enough people that know about it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And look, unless you've actually tried to grow an account on Instagram or promote something through social media, you won't understand how actually difficult it is in terms of, like, it actually does require more effort than you think. Like, look, I'll be the first person to say that influencers and shit have the most piss easy job in the world. Like, 100%.
When they get to that stage, 100%. Though, that is.
But yeah, when you're trying to work up to build an audience, it's one of those things that you need to make it a habit in your day, because you have to be doing it and creating stuff and posting stuff consistently. And being honest, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got shit on in the day and you've got personal stuff on, you've got the gym, you've got family stuff, you've got uni, you've got work, the last thing you want to do is come home and think of an idea or sit down and export files onto your computer and sync up the audios and then edit it and then, you know, add text and write up a big caption. Like, it's easy work physically, and it's not like, yeah, it doesn't require a lot of brain power, but it's just tedious and it takes up time. It's annoying.
I will say it does take up brain power. Like, yes, this is first world problems, we know. And yes, like, people go, oh, boohoo, like, influencer stuff, like try working like a laborious job. But the thing is like, if you have a job that is like a 9-to-5 that you're scheduled just to go into, this is obviously me talking more just a retail job or something like that, you still have stresses, absolutely, but there's a lot less thinking that goes involved like with it. Like, this is where I think we'd have to really reassess ourselves if we ever worked for ourselves, and this is how I could tell that we'd struggle a little bit too, because, like, if we fully, like, committed to it, we would be fine. But it's one of those things when someone else has, like, written out your schedule for the week, like your shifts, and like when you start and finish, and then all you got to do is come in and just realistically do very, like this is again talking just about like quite like whether it's trade or like retail. Not to hate on people that do those jobs at all.
Right.
I'm just saying that it's very like mundane, repetitive stuff that doesn't necessarily require a lot of thought, but they are physical jobs too. So I'm not taking away from it at all. Like, don't paint me out as some knobhead that's sitting here going, they're piss take jobs. But it's just then when it's all on you, I could sit here and just not do it. At the end of the day, like, I could just simply not do it, and no one is there to keep me responsible. Like, that's the benefit of having people like bosses and things like that, because if you don't do it, it's going to affect someone else. Like, and they're, like, you're going to then suffer consequences as a result of it. I have the option whether or not I want to do something or not, if I, like, do anything with the podcast. Not that we make money off it, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a very easy for me to sit here and not do anything, right? And be lazy and just go, ah, can't be bothered today, right? But it's like, it can be quite challenging to be consistent with posting stuff, because if you just, it's like discipline and motivation in the gym. It's like how if you rely on motivation, it's only going to get you so far. You've got to be disciplined to do it. It's the same with everything in life, and it's the same with this. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I rely a lot more on motivation. I look, a year ago when we were really pumping this out, I used to sit up, shit you not, Grace will even tell you, and Grace did sometimes too, we'd nearly make a reel. It got to a point where it was nearly 4 or 5 times a week, like some form of podcast content. And I would sit up until 10, 11 at night. I'd started at like 9:30 for whatever reason, but that just seemed to be when I was like, all right, I've got to do something. And I'd make a whole podcast reel, which sometimes take like 2 hours to make from start to finish. And it would be like 11 o'clock. Do you remember? And I'd be sat down on the ground or like, you know, and then as soon as I'd finish, I've got to go to bed. Like, it just wild. And I would do that happily. And I wouldn't care. I
really hated that period of time, though.
It was not sustainable, but
it wasn't fun at all.
Yeah. But anyway, enough about all this stuff. We've just had a fucking mad rant that fucking makes us look like we're crying over this being difficult, when it's really not. Anyway. We'd like to interrupt this thrilling chat to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by Limitless Nutrition.
With the biggest and the best range of supplements on the market, the team at Limitless Nutrition make it their priority to ensure the supplements you purchase match your health and fitness needs.
And with countless specials every month of the year, you're bound to save some cash.
So head on over to www.limitlessnutrition.online to start purchasing.
And be sure to use code TALKINFIT10, that's TALKINFIT10, at checkout to save 10% off your order.
Now, back to the podcast.
Enough negativity, right? I am on my, well,
I'm in my positive era.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I'm in my luteal phase. But no, I'm up to my 7th book in my book reading. I guess I haven't kept anyone updated on that for a while. Well, 7th, but I'm like halfway through. I started reading my 6th book, got halfway through it.
Yeah.
It's quite a difficult book to read. Like, the wording in it makes it quite hard. It's about religion and how it's like all the negative stuff with religion anyway. I'm not, if you're a follower of God or Christ, go for it. I'm not here to bash you at all. I'm just reading this book about it. But it's very difficult, the wording in it. Like, I'd be lying if I said at the end of each page I wouldn't have to Google a word to find out what it is, because the language in it is just very advanced, and I feel like I'm a bit out of my league reading this book. It's the first time I've picked up a book going, whoa, I feel like I've not earned my place to be reading this book
yet.
Because I'm like, what the fuck? Stuff in it makes a bit of sense, because I did go through the Catholic school system, so I know a bit about Christianity especially, but other religions a little bit too. But so I've had to put that down, and I will finish it. I've got about a bit over 100 pages left of it. But I'm nearly done my 7th book, which is Surrounded by Idiots, because, you know, I just feel like I'm constantly surrounded by idiots in my life. No, I'm kidding. It's a book about
nice one.
The like 4 personality, main personality types in like society, which is like people that are red, blue, green, and yellow, and how to go about approaching these people, how people are like a combination of both, or like 3 colors even. And it's quite interesting. Like reds are very dominant and like headstrong and very straightforward and don't really care about your feelings as much. Whereas, like a blue is someone who's really quiet and reserved, but like has the facts straight, knows what they're talking about. Very cautious people. Yellows are very outgoing people, like very, relationship oriented, love being chatty with people, all that sort of stuff. They have egos, like all this stuff, and it makes a lot of sense. And greens are just sort of your everyday people, very safe, very relationship oriented, bit quiet, like don't like change, things like that. But it's very interesting, and I'm putting it into place into parts of my life, and I'm going, oh yeah, this is making a bit more sense. But it's an interesting read. And yeah, that's where I'm up to. I'm not jumping out of a fucking plane. That's for absolutely sure. So after this, I've got 3 books to read.
In 6 weeks.
Yeah, so.
Barely. Five and a half-ish weeks.
I'm going to be pushing it, like pushing it. But I'm determined to not go skydiving because I'm like terribly afraid of heights. And skydiving to me is probably one of the worst things I could do, I reckon, at the moment, at this very time. Genuinely, you know what my most fearful fear is?
What?
Is if I was just put out into the middle, like at Point Nemo in the Pacific Ocean on my own on a little dinghy.
Dinghy?
Yeah, on a little dinghy.
What's a dinghy?
And it could, the water could be calm, it could be rough, what's wouldn't matter. Like just a little floating boat, like a little inflated life raft, I guess you'd call it.
Gross.
Yeah, no, I couldn't handle that. I'd jump out of a plane before doing that. But yeah. That's where I'm at.
Slay King.
And yeah, what did you, do you have anything else you need to talk about?
Oh, shout out Alyssa. Oh, Alyssa asked me a question yesterday, I think. I was at the beach, Alyssa, by the way, if you're listening to this. I was laying on the beach tanning and I opened your message and I was like, oh my God. She sent me a video of this influencer who, may I say, probably roided up. You know, just one of those typical influencers that you can just tell has cycled, has just like a unattainable body.
All the gear and no idea.
Yeah, all the gear and no idea. And she posted this photo, posted this video being like, if you want to work your upper glute shelf and grow that, you know, upper shelf, you need to do this exercise. And it was her
buzzword.
Doing... Her upper shelf.
Yeah.
If you want to grow your upper shelf,
bro,
do this.
I'm a human being, not a fucking grocery store. What do you want
to
do?
It was her doing the hip abductions on the hip abduction machine. But she claimed that to target less of your glute max when doing hip abductions, all you need to do is basically stand up on the seat, like raise yourself so your butt's off the seat and you're basically in the exact same position but you're just higher up. So you put your foot higher up on the, put your feet higher up on the foot pads and then the pads that rest on the inside of your knee are sort of lower down your shin. So you're basically suspended in the air.
Yeah.
Doing the exact same motion as you would seated hip abductions, but you're just sort of in the air. And she reckons that's what targets your upper shelf. And Alyssa was like, what are your thoughts on this? I just want to get your opinion. And you know what? It was fun analyzing it. And what I want to say from that is this woman who posted the video posted it and said exactly what I said. And then just said, what I want you to do is drop the weight and then just feel the burn.
Oh, God.
And it got me thinking, and it's so true. And I said to Alyssa, I was like, you know what? Often, more often than not, if you find a video on the internet and someone's claiming that doing an exercise a certain way is more effective for something, but they don't explain the biomechanics of why it's more effective. They provide no explanation as to why it's more effective. They just tell you that it's more effective.
Oh, it just feels better.
More often than not, you can almost be sure that they're full of shit. If somebody goes, when you're doing your glute kickbacks, I mean, or you know, when you're doing your hip thrusts, do this instead of doing it normally because you'll feel a super good burn on your glute max and it's going to make your glute max double in size. But then that's it and they don't provide any reason why.
Yeah.
You just know they're full of shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's so, the internet's so flooded with that sort of stuff. So yeah, we were just sort of chatting about that. And she was just like, yeah, I just wanted to see what you thought because she thought it was a bit random too. And I was like, it is so random. That, you know, if you're out there and you see some weird exercise and you think, maybe I should give that a go because this person says it burns really good, just know that they probably don't know what they're talking about. Remember, the burn does not equal effectiveness with an exercise. Please keep it simple. keep it simple. The basics are best, you know?
If you still preach feel the burn in 2024 as being literally like the reason an exercise is like, or like how to properly grow something is to feel the burn and, oh, got to feel that, you know, that squeeze and that contraction and blah, blah. Like, please stop. Just stop. I'm like, it's, I can't believe people still do it. And obviously there's new people entering the gym all the time. So people are going to believe anything.
You know what I'll say?
And it's just, oh, I can't believe there's still people out there that go on about the burn.
I will say, as a coach or somebody who's been in sort of the fitness industry, you can't be out there preaching that sort of shit. But it's really valid for people who are new in the space to be like, oh my God, like this burns so good. Does that mean it's working better?
Yeah.
It's valid to ask those sorts of questions because they're good questions to ask. But then it's the people, as you said, that are out there that are influencers or coaches that are being like, yeah, the burn's like really important. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We know better.
I think you know, it would be a good idea to do in these next few episodes, actually.
What?
Would be to go back to when we've, like, tried to inform a little bit. Yeah. Because there's a lot of newest evidence coming out with things like, we haven't properly delved into why we do high frequency training, for instance, now, why we do upper lower and the importance of a high frequency split. It's all the rage at the moment on at least, well, my,
it's super
like,
hip.
Yeah. My social media and stuff. No, it is. It's genuinely what is like out there. And also there's a lot of stuff out there now too. It's like talking about how like bulking and the bulk is just not necessary as well. And how, because calories, muscle hypertrophy isn't dependent on calorie intake. It's the two drivers, which is true, is protein intake and mechanical tension, adequate mechanical tension. So, and I don't know, there's a lot out there that if you saw or you have seen, which you probably have, I make sort of memes and shit about it all the time on my TikTok, you'd probably be a bit confused by it because it's a lot of new stuff that is quite like, whoa, like it's stuff we know, but I think it's the way people have like addressed it and come out with it. So it might be very confusing. So it would be probably worthwhile us doing that. Even, you know what I thought in the car? I mean, I don't know how sort of beneficial this would be to everyone, but I was thinking even because today I sort of went through some studies on PubMed, because people are like saying this stuff at the moment online about how full body splits are better than an upper lower split. Those two splits at the moment are what the rage is because it's focusing on frequency, and that is without delving too deep into this topic, that doing, I think we've spoken about this before too, that if you do of an exercise, say bicep curls, if you do a set of bicep curls 3 times a week, that's better than doing like 3 sets once a week. So on the one session, because if you think about it, those doing 1 set 3 times a week and 3 sets in the 1 day,
which one are you going to be?
They're both the same amount of volume, but think of it, it's 3 first sets when you do it once, 3 times a week, like, but 1 set. They're 3 first sets, and we all know how our first set in the gym, especially to failure, is the most hypertrophic. It's going to be give us the greatest stimulus. We're going to have the most motor unit recruitment. So there's this there's evidence out there too anyway where we know that 2 times a week is better than 1. That's why a lot of the times, like, this isn't new stuff, that you should be hitting every muscle 2x a week at least in the gym. But now there's this full body trend at the moment. We're saying, well, if we do it 3 times a week and balance our volume so that we don't fatigue, then this should be better then too, because the quality of that volume is going to be a lot better. So it's all very interesting. But I was reading over some studies today because people are like, oh, full body's better than upper lower because you do it 3 times a week, not 2x. But we don't have sufficient evidence out there at the moment to suggest that 3 times a week is better than 2. But there's a lot of people out there that are backing full body because in theory it should be better, and they're just sticking with that for the time being until new evidence comes out. Because if you do read the studies that exist out there, like I did today, you'll see that there's lots of flaws in the studies, and they aren't applying the same principles or the proper principles of like hypertrophy to it. It's like, there was a upper lower split versus a full body split, and each group did like 3 sets of 8 to 12 repetitions and stuff. So it's like you're not really like putting the right training principles in place to begin with.
But you can sort of infer from that, but.
You can, but it's not necessarily what, because full body, these full body people at the moment do 1 set per muscle group a session. Every muscle in your body gets trained once with 1 set of to failure, right? So you're doing everything and you do it 3 times a week. So everything gets 3 sets of failure a week. I know. But if you want to test that, you need to be applying that. But then also the study populations, they're too small. Like they only use about 20 to 30 people. You need to use bigger studies, and you also need to put them longer than an 8-week period, 12-week period, especially in trained athletes.
Anything less, it's less than 30 or 36 or something isn't an adequate population size.
Yeah, and a lot of these studies do only have about, they'll only have just about 30 or 40. And it's like we need bigger sample sizes, and we need them over longer periods of time to effectively compare the two. But also things like using trained versus untrained people,
yes.
How that changes things.
Yep.
If you're an untrained individual, any stimulus is going to invoke hypertrophy. So it's really hard when you're comparing untrained versus untrained, or even untrained against trained as well. That's not like obviously a constant variable, but if you just put untrained people against each other, they're going to see growth anyway. So the data won't represent properly the difference necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a big ramble for me to say. I was going to say we could do an episode talking about how you could, if you were going to do sort of research and you wanted to do research and look over studies, what things to look out for in studies, whether it means that, you know, the study is good or if the study isn't quite as good as it could be, you know. But I feel like that might be going a bit too far. Anyway.
A lesson in what was that course you took?
Research and methodology. Yeah,
a lesson in research and methodology.
But I think the reason I've been thinking this recently is because I've been on Grace's forum page, GLF forum. Shout out if you're a member on it.
If you're not a part of it.
And I've really been enjoying doing one a week with it because it makes me go through sort of some studies on a topic that I either know sort of about. Like I did one on calf training and just sort of the differences in exercises and range of motion. I'm not going to obviously explain it on here because that would defeat the purpose of there being the forum. So I ended up having to go through some, you know, studies and look over things and get what I needed out of it and, you know, make a post. And I really enjoy it. Like, really, really enjoy it. And that's why I'm thinking maybe we could do an episode on here next week about high-frequency training a little bit more, like we did when we explained mechanical tension. Remember when we sat down and we were like, tried to do it in your room, I remember, and we're like, no, that was shit. We listened over to it, and then we went and did our research, came back with written stuff down, and we spoke, and I think we gave out a really good quality sort of episode.
Yeah,
because we're here to inform as well as we are to be entertaining as well. I think we can realistically get the best of both worlds. We may not seem like it sometimes. I know sometimes I feel like I don't seem like it, but we are very informed individuals. Like,
I know I definitely don't seem like it.
But, like, trust
most
us.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
But I swear to God we are, and I am too.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny?
What?
I'm the sort of person where, not to toot my own horn, but I am smart.
Yeah, you are.
Like, I am smart, and
For a girl, yeah. I'm kidding.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
I knew that'd get you. Stop. I'm kidding.
No, but like I would say my book smarts. I would probably say my book smarts are one of my best attributes.
Yes.
But it's funny how I'm the sort of person that if you were to listen to me here, or if you were to
listen to you here.
Yeah, like on the podcast.
Listen to you here?
Listen what? To me here.
Oh, I thought you were right.
No, thinking, if you were to listen to me here on the
here,
podcast.
Yeah.
Or even if you were to meet me, you'd probably be like, what? Like, you don't seem that smart.
Yeah.
But put me in the right conditions, I thrive.
Yeah.
That's why I really like online coaching compared to face-to-face.
Yes.
Because I am the sort of person that I struggle to get out what I'm thinking when I'm talking to someone.
Yeah.
I really struggle to put what's in my brain and to say it.
Yes.
I have all of the information in my head that I know that I want to say, but I struggle to put it into words that make sense.
Yeah.
And I struggle to put it into a coherent sentence. So if I'm in a condition like online coaching where I can, if someone asks me a question, I can think about the way I'm going to word things, I find I can get information out a lot better.
Yes.
Like, I really like being able to have time to think about and prepare what I'm going to say. And then in that way, I can perhaps come across as smart.
Yeah.
But it's weird how, like, sort of you could get an impression of someone in a certain scenario and be like, yeah, they don't seem too cluey.
Yeah.
But you put them in the right circumstances and they are. Like, that's, I was thinking today on my drive home because I'm kind of stressing about this case study presentation I have to do because I hate getting up in front of people and talking. It's like one of my worst nightmares.
Yeah, I hate public
and
speaking.
And my whole degree is basically I'm not very good at it. I don't know what the fuck I've done. But anyway, I was stressing about it and I was like, wouldn't it be nice if we could sort of do tests but choose the way in which we take them? Because I am a weird person and I enjoy, like, if I was to pick any way for us to do a test at uni, it would be an exam.
Same. I'm the exact same. I used to, enjoy and I would be confident in my abilities when we'd go into an exam over an assessment at school.
Yep, me too.
So much more because I could study and read over my content and get it in my head and it was just much... I guess I had a good memory.
Yeah, me too.
But it does make sense for them in schools especially because intelligence isn't a one-size-fits-all thing. It's like there's that photo about how schools do tests. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And it's like an elephant, a goldfish, a monkey.
And it tells them to climb a
rhino,
a tree.
And it goes, all right, everyone, climb the tree for me. Or I'm going to see who can climb the tree the best, essentially.
Yeah.
Everyone's like not on an equal playing field. That's a thing.
Well, do you know what one of my uni tutor lecturers did, who ran the course? She decided to, for our three assessments last semester, one of them was a group presentation. One of them was a case study essay. And then another one was a formal exam.
Yeah.
Because she said she wanted to give everyone a chance based on their different strengths.
Yeah.
Because people like either of those three. And I was like, that's actually really smart. But I also fucking hated it because I had to do two that I absolutely hated doing. More so, I hated doing the presentation. I don't know. It's just really interesting. Like, I just wish everything was a formal exam and then life would be pretty.
It would be good. It would have been crazy. But no, this actually rolls into sort of what I wanted to talk about as well, was that this is what I want out of, if I join Grace permanently as like and do coaching with Grace soon, which is sort of like a big goal, I guess, of ours, would be to have a joint. I might be speaking on behalf of Gracie. Hang on. Like, I'm saying, to have like a conjoint coaching business.
Why did you just say
that? To have a conjoint coaching business. Because you just like didn't look at me sort of like how I expected you to. To have like a coaching business that we both run, essentially.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Eventually sometime be like what we do. And that's what we are, essentially. That it's important. If you're going to be an educator online, and it's what I see so much with people who have all the understanding in the world about a topic, but are terrible, terrible teachers or educators. And it's a thing of you have to be the best at both. So some people are great at educating. This is sort of where you get an imbalance with people. Some people are great, like fantastic educators, almost manipulative. They do really well in sales because they know how to bullshit a person into believing what they say.
Yeah,
so they have no understanding of a topic, but because they know how to talk to people and how to get points across that make sense, people believe them, right? But then you have people online, and I see it so much, and we follow people that we get the information off, that give out really good information but are so passive-aggressive. Mm-hmm. They are very short-tempered. If people don't get things and might ask a few questions and things like that, very, like, short with people, get pissed off, you know, might and have this, like, it's almost like an ego, and it comes across as that to a lot of people that are trying to learn 100. That you are just better because you know everything. Not everyone does that intentionally. There are some influencers out there that genuinely do have an ego because they know what mechanical tension is. Congratulations, right? Like, oh, you're just better than everyone. But it's just a case of people either do it consciously or subconsciously have the ego. And it's just if you're – and they sit there and they go online and they say their goal is to educate and inform people about, you know, how to properly build muscle and stuff like that. And it's like, well, guess what? If that's your goal, you're in a pretty shit job of it currently. Like, it's just – oh, people that lack really basic even people skills.
Yeah.
Like, we know Paul Carter, who is the guy that we get a lot of information off, like – He's actually a great resource.
He is a really good resource, but it's like he thinks what would be the way to word it? He thinks that people seeing his content is just like such a blessing to them.
Yes.
That if they dare interact with it in even the slightest wrong way,
he blocks you.
They're just like the worst person in the world to him.
And like, he blocks you. And it's like you ask a question that he finds stupid, blocked. He had people in his training group that must have questioned something or asked, like, just questioned something he was doing or asked something. And he's just, like, flipped it on them and called them an idiot and things like that. Like, all this stuff that sort of got, like, that got leaked. But just things like, and I think, wow, how could you ever imagine calling one of your clients an idiot for them asking you a question? Like, I can't envision it. I go... It makes sense because,
ridiculous.
You know...
Ridiculous.
It doesn't... It's not saying that everyone that's smart... lacks people skills, but it tends to be the really smart individuals out there. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are very, very smart, and you know they do have a little bit of autism,
sort of,
or like they do
socially.
Have, they do have a bit of social, that lack of social skills, and it's funny to me. There's so many people out there that go, oh my goal is to educate people and stuff, but oh, if you don't know what mechanical tension is, you're a fucking piece of shit. You shouldn't even be in the gym. What are you doing, huh? And so almost some people forget that they once didn't know anything when they stepped into a gym.
Exactly.
It's what pissed me off on placement with some people you got as, looking after supervisors, looking after you. They have this thing of like, oh, you're not getting it. Like, you don't get it this quick or as quick as I might have. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, people learn at different rates. Like
and
it's what pisses me off. These same people, right, that come out with their egos about, oh, you don't get this or whatever, and or give people that are learning a hard time, right? The same people that when they sat in school, right, would have had teachers that they hated or complained about and had classes that they didn't learn about. Now, they would blame that they didn't care about the content, but I guarantee you it was the teacher. They didn't like the teacher or you probably had a maths class where you just read out of textbooks and did questions out of textbooks, and you probably hated that, right? They know exactly what they're talking about, and that's there to teach you, right? All the right information's there. But the way the teacher went about it was shit. Now, who's to blame? You, as the person learning, you should have done better to, you know, learn the ways of that teacher. Or could the teacher have been a bit better to, you know, sort of model their teaching style around you a little bit better? So it's one of those things, and it's just such a big deficit at the moment. And I almost credit the reason we have such hatred towards optimal lifting and, yes, and science-based that's, lifting,
yes,
is because of these people out there that are just ego-inflated and terrible teachers.
Yeah,
right?
Horrible teachers.
These are hard concepts to the general public. It may not be to you, right? Yes, you might get science really well, right? We do, right? And so do you. But the general, you got to think you're probably in a very small percentile of the human population that can have someone sit there and explain what motor unit recruitment is and synapses at nerves and all this stuff, and you can envision it and picture it because you might have learned it at school, you might have done biology, you might have, you know, might have a bit of a basic fundamental understanding. The average person that's in their 30s that has just turned to the gym all of a sudden and wants to work out does not know that. And they don't understand that.
I know we've gotten on here before, and I know I have. I've been like, it's not that fucking hard to like, yes, know what to look for in a study. Like that, I, looking back, I'm directing that at the people who are out there preaching misinformation.
Yes.
And dying on the hill with that, yeah, dying, yeah, on a hill with that misinformation, and trying to tell people that that's the way it is. That's who I'm directing those comments to.
Yeah.
Not you, not the general population who, you know what I mean?
Because,
yeah, I was just sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I feel like I've gotten up people for not knowing how to critique a paper, a research paper, but that's in a different context.
And like Grace and I said it as well, that with, going back to Paul Carter, he sounds like a piece of shit, right? If you haven't heard of Paul Carter, like you would sit there and from what we've just explained, you go, wow, he's a bit egotistical, which he is. But when he makes videos explaining content, he uses a
tone
of voice that is very friendly and inviting.
He sounds so nice.
So you listen and you have more attention. If someone came across and is like, you can hear that ego in their voice and stuff, and especially you've got to realize, like, if you're someone that maybe is a bit younger as well, you got to think if your goal is to educate people, yes, people have biases and like all that sort of stuff that you can't change, I understand. But if your goal is to educate people, you really have to model how you preach this information to the general public. You have to realize that people learn at different rates, and that you have to be a successful educator, model your educating style.
Do you know what's really funny? Is this is a lot of the stuff that we learn in my degree. This is great. My degree actually does have some relevance into what I'm doing. We learn a lot about communication and how to communicate with patients and with clients, because a big problem in healthcare as well, and it can be put back into the fitness industry, is people will go away from an appointment or something and they won't understand why they're doing a certain treatment or what the doctor just did. They don't understand the process, which leaves a lot of people unsatisfied with their care. So, and a lot of the focus now in teaching new healthcare professionals is on how to communicate with patients to come across in a way where they feel comfortable asking questions.
Yeah.
And you know, we're good enough to explain to them processes in a friendly way that they'll be able to understand. And it's just funny listening to this and being able to think about what we're learning in my degree, because we learn about all of that sort of stuff when talking to a patient, like the importance of tone of voice.
Yeah.
And even things like inflections and just building rapport and just coming across as friendly.
Yeah.
It's just really important in teaching people and giving people a good experience.
Yep.
And the same goes if you're trying to preach fitness information.
Yeah. And you've got to be patient. Like, people will have a question that they've heard 100 times. I completely understand there would be questions out there that would grind your gears after a while. I'd be like, for fuck's sake, it's like you're not listening. But it might be someone that's just stumbled across your videos, like brand new, and you know, they might just feel like commenting a question instead, right? Instead of going through your content like you might, this person might be a bit different, might have gone think about things just a little bit different, and maybe hopes that you're approachable enough to ask the question, right? It's like again, going back to school, what do you imagine if your teacher, you sat there and you, for the life, you couldn't get like this concept,
but you're too
right?
scared to ask them a question.
Yeah. Because what happens is when you ask them a question, they the teacher goes, oh, for fuck's sake, this student's still not getting it. And they just fucking scold you and make you feel like an idiot. It's not fun, is it?
Some of the worst teachers at school were the ones that weren't approachable.
Yeah.
Like, they were the least liked teachers at school. Yeah.
And this is why people like Eugene Teo and Jeff Nippert
love them.
So, like, successful, yet they get bashed by these, like, you know, people that might know a bit more than them online, right? Especially when it comes to Jeff Nippert. And there's people out there that love to think that they know more than him online and that he's just an idiot, right? And it's some 17 17-year-old that learned about mechanical tension off Paul Carter, you know, a month ago. And so, and just thinks they're better than everyone. This is what, like, there is a small population of people out there like that. But the reason they're so successful is because in their content, they are the nicest people ever. Like, they seem so approachable.
Yeah.
And you can see why Jeff Nippard's fucking nutrition app has got nearly 100,000 users on it, active users and stuff. And, you know, why they're doing so much more success, like, successfully than other people.
It's because they build trust with their audience.
It's because they have that great balance of, sure, they might not be the smartest people out there, but guess what? They know fucking a lot. They know a lot still. And guess what? They're fantastic at communicating it. But they're not communicators so much to the point where they're scamming you into buying some bullshit, right? They're the perfect examples of, like, balance, essentially, of the whole, they're educators, right? You want to be an educator in fitness, go and look at them because they do it correctly.
And they're still extremely smart.
Yes, yeah. Like, and, like, yes, they get things wrong. Jeff Nippert did a whole fucking study to see if he could prove a point or not, and he couldn't, and people bashed him for it. And guess
but
what?
He owned it.
Yeah, he owned it. He didn't come out and go, oh, it's bullshit, like, blah, 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 or all this other stuff could have been done, and, oh, the study could have been better.
He's
and whatever.
He's a humble guy.
He goes, no, okay, well, you know, it's a shame.
Humble? But maybe that's the wrong word.
But he took bits and pieces out of it, and that's what it is. And that's why if you want to be a great educator, you need to know what you're talking about, but you also have to have those people skills to be able to put in place. This is what sort of my book has talked about a little bit. That's why I've, like you said, your degree, my book, the Surrounded by Graces, I mean, Idiots. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Surrounded by Idiots. It's saying how...
That's a good one.
Have you ever come across someone that's like really abrupt and, like, you know, really, it almost comes across rude to you and stuff? And it's like, that person is just different to you. And it's like, it's hard because there are boundaries, right? Some people,
just
a straight bastard, like literally arrogant, rude, like terrible person. But it may just be because you have a different personality type to them and it clashes. Now, if you, say, have a boss like this, right? Who's it? What do you do? Do you go, oh, the boss is just a prick? You know, work sucks, like, whatever, I can't. Say you got to approach them about something. You just don't do it because they're a prick and they're not going to take it right. Or do you adapt? Do you adapt to the person that's in front of you and go, all right, well, maybe I've got to be a bit more blunt and straightforward to them to get the point across, you know? Or maybe I have to approach things differently than how I would. You know what I mean? Like, it's about, if you want to be a successful communicator and get along with more people and understand people better, you have to be willing to adapt to how people are different. You can't just expect that how I think a perfect person would be or how I think I would do things and how I'd want people to react is going to exist in every single person because it's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just like – and that applies to educating people as well. Everyone learns differently at a different rate, you know, and – sure, if you've taught someone enough and they're still too stubborn to make the change, right? It's a weird space, the fitness world. We have these emotional attachments to things, like
that's a them problem.
Like a split or a workout, an exercise or bulking or something, you know, we all have personal attachments to it. And if you have conveyed what you can and they still won't, there's going to be people out there you're not going to be able to get through to. And that's fine, and you leave it at that and you just go, I've done everything I can. But I'm not going to bash that person for, you know, not necessarily following through with the information I'm giving them. And that's as simple as that, you know. But it's enough for some people to go, fucking idiot, you're not learning. Like, you dumb prick. Like, wow, you're such an idiot. Ha, ha, ha. So, yeah, it's just a big gap that exists at the moment that I see in the fitness world.
Can I talk about Yeah, sorry, carry on.
No. That's all. There's just a big gap. Big gaping right. hole.
Well, can
in
I
the
talk
space.
About some huge, random things? Then?
Huge hole. Yeah. Finish it off. I'm amazed. I feel a bit better now after that.
First
after that,
first,
the start
right.
of this episode,
hope
the breakdown.
You guys enjoyed that.
A mental breakdown.
Right. Okay. Yep. First things first. I'm dyeing my hair lighter soon.
Ooh.
For summer.
Back
exciting.
To blonde.
Don't
bronze
go
or whatever it's called.
I won't go back to fully blonde because I want to have hair still.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go lighter.
Yeah.
And also. I'm giving the update on table tennis.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I am, because I want to talk for a little bit.
Well, just before that. Actually, no, yeah, no, go. Yeah, go for it, actually.
Table tennis, I'll tell you what. So, last episode, I was not having it. These new bats, I was cursed. My bat was cursed. So, what I did, what I've done since, is I've gone and I've swapped everyone's bats out. So, I've played with Lewis's mum and mum's bat, not dad's. I actually never touched dad's
from Grace.
Bat, but I played with Lewis's bat and I played with mum's bat, and then I went back to my own bat, and since then my skillage has increased substantially through the roof. I finally came out of my drought. Like, I finally came out of my plateau.
Yeah, because you know what she's done?
And I beat everyone
she's
in the house again.
She's gone and touched everyone's bat and played with everyone's bat.
So I
and washed her fucking jinx off her dirty hand onto everyone else's bat. So we've picked it up.
Exactly.
So what happens when we come back and play at Grace's after, you know, she's touched my bat? I lose. And then I lose again. And then I sit here and think, hang on a minute. I hadn't lost in so long. Like, literally, in a few days, I hadn't lost.
They reckon I'm a witch.
You
everyone.
Are. You are cursed.
They think I'm a witch.
You are. And it was just, it was frustrating the shit out of me because I sat here thinking, you weren't playing, like, you weren't playing anywhere near what you were the other. I'm really happy, though, now that you have, like, seemingly.
Yeah, my mental health has improved.
Swung around with it. Yeah. And you've gotten back into it.
My mental health.
But it just, it's just, you don't do that. You've broken the golden rule. Don't touch my racket. Don't play with my racket, number one. That should be the unbreakable rule in table tennis.
Well, I've already done that, so
yeah,
sorry,
so
not
I'm
sorry.
I'm absolutely fuming because these bats are like individual to us. We've got cases for them.
But table tennis
straight from Japan
is going well. So.
Yeah, off. Yeah, it is. No, it still is. But
it's interesting.
I was really – and it was playing – I think it played on my mind more than anything because like –
It did.
I played a few shit shots and I was like, it's because Grace has touched my fucking
bat. Do you know what
bat.
Really shits me off?
What?
So everyone was telling me last week, it's just in your head. It's just a mental thing that you, like, it's just in your, it's your attitude is why you're losing. And now look how the tables have turned. Everyone's out here freaking out because I'm thrashing them in table tennis all of a sudden. And it's actually really nice to turn back around and say, it's just a mental thing, guys. It's all in your head. That's why you're losing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel nice, does
really
it?
Really irritating, actually.
It is, isn't it?
But
and they wondered why I was getting so pissed off last week. It's because I'm playing a game and I've got Lewis sat on the sideline. I'll hit a good shot and he'll go...
Can you share, actually, what was your mum whispering in your ear before, like, when we were playing doubles? That time, like, because she whispered something in your dad's ear... And then whispered something in your ear, like before.
I'll tell you in a second. Anyway, and Lewis is sat there while I'm playing a game, and I'll hit a good shot. And I know it's a good shot. I don't really need to be told it's a good shot because this was a week ago when I was just having a really bad time. And how annoying is it when you're sat there playing a game and you're losing, but every now and then you'll hit a good shot, and you have someone on the sideline going, see, like, you're not that bad. You can actually hit
a good shot. We don't say that, but we're trying to be encouraging.
Like, see, just keep that up. Keep doing that. That's really good. Good work. And it's just like you're losing.
We're not being condescending, but
they were being so condescending.
Because you were so upset.
It made me
so like
want to just catch on fire.
I wish I got it on tape and showed all of you. Like, she was so upset with it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I just get pissed off.
But yeah, what did she say?
She literally whispered in my ear.
Oh, yeah, mad.
She whispered in my ear and she said, it was something completely, like, irrelevant. And it was it wasn't irrelevant, but it was really, like, not what I thought. She basically just said, yeah, come on, let's kick their ass.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like, it was nothing tactical.
So she's trying to throw us off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was going to be like, go for his backhand or something.
Yeah,
or
well,
like,
she did that with me.
Yeah, yeah, because I know that they like to target my backhand, but then I fucking douche it back on the other side and they go, oh.
You just got to target her forehand.
Yeah, true, because sometimes you can tell with your mum, like, you'll hit it and she'll go to hit backhand and it comes back like that, like, really quick. You She's can tell it's backhand. Her strong backhand. Anyway, yeah, you do have to just target a forehand.
This was such a random episode.
It was, but I feel like we got across some good points, you know, in the end, after that shocking start.
Well, it was interesting.
Terrible start to the episode, I apologize. I feel a bit better getting that off my chest, though.
Hey, this is going to be funny. Shout out Lara, if you listened all the way through, send me a message and tell me if you've listened up to this point.
Wow, so if we get no message off Lara, then...
Yeah, but no, I'm just, shit. I feel like this isn't a very Lara-esque episode. Like,
true.
But because I know Lara.
Lara isn't the only listener of the podcast, but like, you always say this, like, oh, sorry, Lara, if you listen this far. Oh, sorry, sorry, Lara, we didn't talk more about fucking our favorite movie or something. Or like,
hey.
Sorry, Lara, that we didn't, you know, do this or that.
No, I'm just saying, like, Lara, I just don't, like, I just... Lara has, like, a life, and I don't think she really is in on, like, the TikTok or, like, the fitness, like, science bro lifting world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
we can bring her some informative content.
No, but all I'm saying is Lara probably just doesn't really know who the fuck we're talking about.
Sorry to everyone else that listens that doesn't get just name dropped every episode.
No,
like,
but
like,
I'm just saying, Lara, if you listened, thank you for listening because, like, I understand that probably wasn't just...
Sorry, Lara.
Do you know what
I mean? Sorry, Lara. Like, God, Lara probably doesn't want to get name dropped in the open as well 100 times.
No, but I'm not
She's probably like,
dropping...
fucking hell, Grace, shut up.
No, maybe. Sorry, Lara.
Sorry, Lara again.
But love you, Lara.
We can drop some informative game.
Do you know who else we can drop? Whose name else we can drop?
Who? Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
We're going, hey, this
Tim
is,
and Lara are our only listeners,
this
apparently.
This is what happens.
We still have fucking plenty of other people that listen.
This is what happens.
Shout out everyone else.
Far out.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you listen to our podcast. We're going out for dinner and bowling with Tim on Friday night.
We are.
From listeners to friends.
Yeah. What a random turn of events. I didn't know who Tim was a couple months ago. And now, yeah. Now we're all besties.
Slay King.
But anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you for listening through the start. I feel like that was very just...
We'll put it...
Apologies.
In the description, we'll put...
Like, we'll start the episode at a certain point.
Very
if you don't want to get
beginning.
Yeah, if you don't want to get depressed. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. It's our podcast. I'll talk about what I want. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week for maybe an informative one. We'll see.
Guys, can I just tell you?
Oh, here we go.
It's 10:28 p.m.
You know why?
No,
listen.
It's late. It's 10:28 p.m. and I'm not going to be able to have a cup of tea. I'm pissed off.
Oh, shame. All right. Love you all and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.